God. Somebody Bible to the book of Luke. To the book of Luke. I want to try to just be obedient to the Holy Spirit. I appreciate this opportunity. I never take for granted the opportunity to stand and preach. I know this much about your pastor, that I believe that he was sensitive to the Holy Spirit by giving me this invitation. I believe that. I believe that he was doing that. And I also believe that he would want me to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And in just a moment, we'll dismiss and we'll hopefully go find some ice cream. Somebody told me y'all have ice cream down here that's got blueberries and peaches in it. Is that right? Good Lord in the morning. So we hopefully going to go find some blueberry peach ice cream. Okay, good. And so that is my incentive not to keep you here till 4 o'clock. Amen. But man, can I just say this? Isn't the Lord good?
Amen.
I mean, ain't any good today?
Yes,
brother, can I just follow the Holy Spirit? Do you remember when you were drowning in the sea of sin, going down for the last time, when you called upon His name? He reached down His nail-pierced hand, and He lifted you out. So remember where you were back then, and thank Him for where you are now. Give Him the glory for what He's done in your heart. Somebody say amen. When He took you from sin and strife, and He made a new start, He mended your broken heart, and He made you complete. So remember where you were back then, and thank Him for where you are now. Luke chapter 24, we find a man and a lady. I believe it was a man and his wife. We know that his name was Cleophas, and I believe, according to what we read in the Bible, I believe it was his wife Mary that was with him. I'm not here to debate whether that other person was his wife or another disciple. That's pretty irrelevant at this point, but I believe it was a man and his wife. And I was just sitting there, the Holy Spirit reminded me of this, preacher, in my heart, and I just want to try to help you tonight. I said this last night, here in a moment, we'll be done, we'll leave tonight, we'll come, we'll leave. And if you don't ever remember my name or my son's name, that's fine. But man, I want to give you something that maybe the Holy Spirit will take and staple to the doorpost in the pantry of your heart. And I'm interested in a couple of verses of Scripture in Luke chapter 24, and if verse number 13, if you're there, can you say amen?
Amen.
And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. What day was it? Well, if we'll find out in verse number 24, it was the day that they went and found the tomb empty. And the Bible says from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs, about 6.5 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto Him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And He said unto them, what things? And they said unto Him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Back in November to December, I began praying in my heart, not as a dad, not as a husband, not as a pastor or preacher, but I began praying in my heart that I wanted God to show me things. I wanted to see Gary Edwards as God saw Gary Edwards. Now, I understand that we would sing the song that when he sees me, he sees the blood, and every bit of that I agree with, and I understand that. I'm not trying to undo that scriptural teaching of when he sees us, he sees the blood. I believe that, but preacher, I started praying and I said, God, I want to see Gary the way you see Gary. I want to see my flaws. I want to see my mistakes. I want to see every area of my life that needs to be changed, needs to be washed, needs to be cleansed, needs to be rededicated, whatever the case may be. And I began praying that. And the more that I would pray that, the more earnest, sir, it would become in my heart. And I got to the point to where I began to beg God. And I said, God, I really want to see the real Gary Edwards. Not what my church sees, not what my wife and my kids see. I want to see Gary Edwards the way you see Gary Edwards. And I'm just pouring my heart out to you this morning. I'm being transparent. God started revealing things to me, Brother Dalton, that I didn't like. He started revealing things to me, and may I say this from personal experience, when you pray a prayer like that, you better make sure you want to see what God is going to show you. Can I get amen? Amen. I began to pray that prayer, and God began to reveal things to me, and it was almost that I got to a point in my life, preacher, that I stopped praying that prayer because God was revealing things in my life that was absolutely destroying who I was as a person. And as that door was opened and I found myself being torn down, man, I fell into a depression, just deep depression. And I know preachers aren't supposed to be depressed, and I know you're not supposed to wonder why you do all of this stuff and wonder if, you know, everything about what you're doing is true. But I fell into deep depression, and it lasted for several weeks. I started reaching out and talking to preachers in the area, preachers that I knew that had dealt with depression, and I was praying and I was asking God. And finally, I got to the point one night, I couldn't sleep. It had been several nights since I had a good night's sleep, and I got up in the middle of the night and I took the Bible. How many of you know the Word of God is medicine for everything? Can I say amen? And I took the Word of God and I went in my study and I opened my Bible and I said, Lord, I prayed and I want you to change Gary Edwards. I want to be used for you. I don't care about my name. I don't care if anybody knows me. But God, I want to be the man. I want to be the Christian. I want to be the husband. I want to be the father. I want to be, Lord, the man that shares the gospel of what you want. And but Lord, why am I here? I'm asking you to do a work in my heart and do a work in my life. And I'm asking you, Lord, to change me. I've been taught my whole life. I was brought up in church. I was in church 9 months before I was born. We were at church every time the door was open, and I had heard my whole life how you're supposed to pray for God to change you. And I had put myself in that situation, and by putting myself in that situation, I did not keep my guard up, and the devil got in and started showing me really how bad I was. And man, I was in deep depression. I had searched my Bible and I said, Lord, am I even supposed to preach anymore? Am I even supposed to pastor anymore? The devil made me doubt whether I was even a husband or a parent to my kids. And I said, God, I need something in your word that's going to change me. I need something in your word. I've preached it. I've studied it. And Lord, I want something in your word to change who and what I am. I need something in my life. And through the scripture and the moving of the Holy Spirit, the Lord showed me this. He said, you have lost your joy. And I found that verse in the Bible that says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I started realizing at that point that the reason that I was anemic spiritually, the reason that I was at the bottom of the barrel, I may not be preaching to anybody today, But I want you to know it's not a fun place to be physically or spiritually. But I found out that it was that at that point that I allowed the devil to get into my life and to tear me down. And I had lost my joy. And according to the scripture, without joy, I had no strength. And I began to ask the Lord. I said, Lord, give me something in your word that will renew this. Give me something in your word that I can have hope on. I don't know that I'll ever preach it. I don't know that I'll ever verbalize it. But Lord, I need a verse of scripture. And the Lord brought me to Luke chapter 24. And I want this morning, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to maybe help you as an individual or you as a family or you as a church, that maybe you're here this morning and you don't know what's going on in your life. I do believe in spiritual warfare. I do believe that the devil will do anything and everything he can to tear me down and tear you down as an individual, as a church, as a family. The devil is not prejudiced. The devil is not biased. And he just soon tear your pastor down as he had the person across the street. And friend, I want to help you this morning and let you know that God is there every step of the way, even when you don't realize He's there. He's there. I want to give you the first point real quick. Number one, I want you to notice about these two couples. I want you to notice, first of all, that their hearts were heavy. Their hearts were heavy. Look what the Bible tells us here in the verse that we read, verse number 13, verse number 14. Two of them, that they were coming back to Emmaus. They were making that 6.5 mile walk. And verse number 14 says, and they talked together of all these things, which, if you write in your Bible, look at those next two words, had happened. See, here's the first thing that you got to understand, that when you are defeated and when you feel like that you're all alone, if you're not careful, all you will do is spend your life looking back on the things in your past that didn't work out the way you thought they ought to work out. Come on now, help me. Now, last night I preached living in your past victories. This morning I'm preaching on living in your past failures. And all they could do was talk about everything. Look, if you have a King James Bible, it says had happened, past tense. All they could do, Brother Dalton, was look back at everything that they thought that had gone wrong in their life. They looked back and they started moaning and they started groaning. And can I use this all the way down here in the bottom of Georgia? If I use the word griping, do y'all know what that word means? I thought that was a mountain of Pickens County word, griping. They were grumbling and they were griping and they were complaining. And the whole time, because of the situation that they had in their hand, they had forgotten every promise that God had made them, every promise that Jesus had made them. And we find this couple walking hand in hand, husband and wives, that had been there at the foot of the cross. They had heard Jesus speak personally. It was not just a story. It was life for them. And we find them that their hearts were heavy because all they could think about was all the times that they'd been let down. All the times that God didn't give them what they asked for. All the times that, well, I prayed for this preacher and I prayed for this preacher and I wanted this preacher and I begged God for this. And man, it's just like all they could do is live in what God did not do for them. Friend, can I say this as a personal testimony this morning? God has never done me wrong. Amen. If He did not answer my prayer, He knew what was best. If He has not answered it as of yet, He knew what was best. If He told me absolutely no, He knew what was best. And friend, I want to tell you this morning, if you're walking around with your head low, wondering what's happened to your joy, wondering what's happened in your walk, and all you can do is walk around with a heavy heart, friend, I got news for you. God has never done anything but good by you. Their hearts were heavy. Number two, their hope was gone. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 17, and He said unto them, in my Bible, that's red letter edition, that means that Jesus was talking. And He says, what manner of communication are these that have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said unto Him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And He said unto Him, what things? And they said unto Him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. And I have this underlined in my Bible, but we trusted. But we trusted. See, let me tell you this. In the middle of your problem, Jesus will be there and you don't even know He's there. He said, but we trusted this man named Jesus. But we trusted. I got a call earlier this week. I visited this gentleman's house. I hadn't seen him in quite a while. And his daughter called me and she said, Preacher, would you go by and see my dad? He's got cancer. He's not doing well. They don't think it's going to be that many days. And man, I sure would appreciate if you'd go by and have prayer with him. He was friends with my grandfather, a family friend. And I went by and I knocked on the door. They said, he's in the bed. He's probably won't be able to come to the door. If the nurse is not there, just knock and go on in. And I went and I knocked on the door. And when I knocked on the door, he came to the door. And I said, well, amen, brother. He said, Preacher, come on in. I went in, I sat down, he sat down. He said, I just got a shower. Said, I just put me on some clean clothes. I heard that you were coming by, and before you say anything, I just want you to know that I'm waiting on my ride. And I said, Brother, I'm sorry. I said, did you have a doctor's appointment or anything? And he said, oh, no, Preacher, I'm waiting on my heavenly ride. And he said, I got up this morning thinking today might be the day, and I didn't want to leave without a good shower and a good bath and a good shave and put me on some clean clothes. He said, Preacher, all I'm doing is waiting on my ride. Amen. And I said, well, brother, I came over here because I thought you were all downhearted. I thought you were all beat down. I thought you were all depressed. He looked at me. He said, Preacher, what in the name of Almighty God have I got to be depressed about? He said, what in the world have I got to be upset about? He said, what in the world do I need to shed a tear for? He said, Preacher, I'm sitting right here in this recliner. I believe the Lord's coming to get me today. And if He don't come and get me today, I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to sleep like a baby. I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to take me a shower. I'm going to put me some clean clothes on. Because if the Lord don't come back today, Preacher, He might come back tomorrow. And I'm just waiting on my ride. I said, well, I came over here because I thought your heart was heavy. He said, heart heavy? He said, Brother, I'm about to leave every bit of this. I'm about to go and get my glorified body. I'm about to go and be with my wife and with my mom and with my dad and with my grandma and with my grandpa. And he said, more than that, I am going to be able to be in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He said, I taught Sunday school for 41 years and I'm going to get to sit down and talk to and see with my eyes the one that I've been teaching Sunday school about for so long. Did you understand how you can take an object in your life and you can either look at the positive of it or you can look at the negative of it? I walked in there with a handkerchief in both pockets. I walked in there with lifesavers because I thought we about to have a squalling fit and I don't know how I'm going to help this man. And within 17, 18, 19 minutes of being in there, he's sitting in his recliner going like this. I'm going out and back in front of the couch shouting and we talking about the goodness of the Lord. You said, Preacher, I don't understand. It may makes no difference what you got on your plate today. God is still good. Amen. Amen. They said, hey, look what they said. They said, but we trusted. Can I ask you this question this morning? Has God ever let you down? Have you ever accused Him of letting you down? Come on now. I'll say this, Brother Robbie. I feel like I can be myself here. You told me I could. You might regret it, but you ever prayed something in your life and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and God said no and it just absolutely tore the bottom out of it and you was like, why in the world, God, did you let that happen in my life? And you may not say this, maybe you never been this way. Big Vanilla, maybe you ain't never been this way, but here's what I'd do. I'd say, God, I know better than you. God, you missed this one, Lord. You missed this one. I know you took care of me all these other times, but Lord, you might have missed this one. I tell you what, I know you got a lot on your plate. Now, I know y'all don't verbalize this, but in your heart and in your mind, some of you pray. Somebody be honest with the preacher and say, I know how that feels. I know you got a lot on your plate, and I know there's a lot of stuff going on, and I think you might have missed this one, Lord. I trusted that you were going to not do what was best for me. Notice what they said. But I trusted that you were going to do what was best for me. That's what he said. Look what the Bible says. It says, but we trusted it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. Friend, He is redeeming them as they speak. Go to the book of Hebrews. Find out what He's doing. They're saying, well, we trusted He would redeem them. What they didn't know was the blood was being taken to the Holy of Holies in the throne room, according to the book of Hebrews, and it was covering all their sin, all of my sin, all of your sin, and they had thought that Jesus had messed up. But can I tell you this morning, friend? He has never messed up in your life or my life. Though I failed the Lord, He has never failed me. The hearts were heavy. The hope was gone. But I get to those first two points to get to the last one. The last one is this: but their help was near. Look what the Bible says. The Bible tells in verse number 25, "Then He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe, that all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself." Now, if there is a verse in the whole Bible that just blows my socks off, it's that verse right there. Now, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Amen. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Amen. So here's what he did. He started in Genesis 1:1, sitting down and started telling them, man, you're talking about a Sunday school lesson. He said, hey, you remember over there when Abraham took Isaac and he was taking him up the top of the hill, and right when he was about to slay him, there was a ram in the thicket? That was me. Yeah. He said, you remember when Moses brought the children of Israel down to the Red Sea and he took that rod and he held it out and it parted back and they walked across on dry land? That was me. He said, you remember whenever they came all the way across, and when they came all the way across and the enemy started coming in on them and the water fell down and drowned every single solitary one of them, and I told Moses to tell them that they'd never have to worry about that again? That was me. He said, what about over there in all the pictures in the book of Leviticus where the lamb had to be slaughtered? The preacher talked about that this morning in Sunday school. And if you ain't coming to Sunday school, you're missing a blessing. Be here next week and be in the preacher's Sunday school class. Amen. That was for that. He said, all of that. That was me. He said, you remember when the children of Israel had to take that lamb and put the blood on the doorpost? He said, so when the death angel come through, they couldn't touch it? He said, that's me. Man, and he went through item by item, Brother Dalton. I believe every single solitary thing in the first five books of the Bible. I believe that Jesus sat there and He said, that's me. That's me, that's me. And here's what happened, friend. Notice this, we'll see this in the Scripture. When they realized who He was and what He had already done, their hearts being heavy didn't matter anymore. Their hope being gone didn't matter anymore, because they were in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and business picked up. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 18, and they drew nigh, 28, I'm sorry, and they drew nigh to the village whither they went. And He made as though He would have gone further, but they constrained Him. You know what that word constrained means? That word constrained means is where they looked at Him and they said, you're staying here whether you want to or not. That's what that means. So they grabbed hold of Him and they said, you're staying, you're not leaving. Man, there's a whole message in that, friend, right there. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus would have gone on back, is what the Bible says. But the Bible says that they constrained Him. If that ain't highlighted or underlined in your Bible, you ought to underline, highlight that in your Bible. And the Bible says that they drew nigh to the village where they went, and He made as though He would have gone farther, but they constrained Him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scripture? Now, I want to take just a minute, Brother Robbie, if I'm okay right here on this last point. I brought us all the way to this last point because I want to, can I come off here? I want to show you something. Now, you may not be here today and you have no idea what these people are dealing with. Everything in your life is good. You got money in the bank. Your bills are paid. All the test results checked out great. They've taken you off your medicine. Grandma's fine. Papa's fine. Everything's great. Man, you're on top of the mountain. Right now, you could pray. You're hoping somebody will come to you today and say, help me pray about something, because you have both barrels loaded. Your faith is at the top, and everything you've asked God for this past week, He has done exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. And you're ready, as old timers would say, to charge hell with a water gun. That may be you today. And if that's you, glory be to God, let's shout in a minute. But there might just be somebody in here today that you toting something you never thought you'd be toting. When you were younger and you wrote the story of your life in your mind, you didn't write this chapter. You're going through something in your life right now that maybe you've always feared of going through, or maybe you have seen other people go through, and in the dark night, you yourself would be like, God, please don't ever let me face what these people are facing. Not being judgmental, but you just didn't want to go through what they were going through. There may just be somebody in here today that you're facing something that you never, you thought if you lived to be 400 years old, you never thought you would face. There may be somebody in here this morning, you're facing that. Yeah,
that's right.
You might be in here this morning, you're facing a health issue. You're facing a home issue. Your home's a mess. You're facing a heart issue. Things ain't right between you and the Lord. You're facing an issue with your kids. You're facing an issue with your grandkids. You're facing an issue with your job. I don't know, but I just know this, preacher, that the Holy Spirit put this message on my heart, and it may only be for one person, but somebody here is walking and your hope is gone and your heart is heavy and you truly love the song. Man, that was awesome singing. I could have handled another. Man, you could have sung that song four more times as far as I'm concerned about the goodness of the Lord. And you were in the choir, or you were in your seat, and man, everything inside of you, you mustered up to raise your hand. You're wiping the tears. But if the truth be known, you're sitting at Calvary Baptist Church this morning and you feel like all hope is gone and your heart is heavy and you don't know how you're going to make it one more day.
Come on now.
Might just be somebody that way. I got good news for you. Your heart may be heavy and your hope is gone, but your help is near. How close is he, preacher? There was a time or two this morning during singing service, I felt him walk by right there. I don't know how you do. I just like going to church. Do you know if you go to church three times a week for the next 10 years, you only go 1,530 times, and I don't want to miss a one of them. Amen?
Amen.
But you might be here today, and your heart's heavy or your hope's gone, and you're going, preacher, I used to know what it's like to walk with the Lord. I used to know what it's like. Come here, have him with me. I used to know what it's like to every step that I take, if I'd start to pull the Holy Spirit and say, no, let's not go that way. And if I'd start to get too fast, the Holy Spirit would say, no, slow down now, slow down. And then there are times when I started dragging behind, the Holy Spirit would say, come on, let's. Some of you know what that's like. Amen now. I'm not asking you if you agree. I'm just saying, do you understand my preaching? Thank you, preacher. But there may be somebody in here right now. Your heart's as heavy as it's ever been. You feel as hopeless as you've ever felt. I want to show you something that God helped me with a couple of weeks ago. Brother Robbie, I want to show you what God helped me with when I cried out to him that morning in my study. I want you to look what he did that changed their life. I want you to go back in verse number 29. Number one, but they constrained him. The first thing that happened in order for them to realize how close he was is they ask him to be near. Catch that now. Draw me nearer, nearer. They constrained him. They said, God, we're in a mess. Our heart's heavy. Our hope is gone. And we don't really know, but man, there's something about you that's making a difference in my heart. What about you, honey? She's saying, yeah, Cleophas, I think there is. He said, well, I believe me and the madam can both agree that there's something about you that says, we got a little something going on in here. Would you please stay with us and talk to us a little bit more? Look what next happened. The Bible said this. The Bible says, and they constrained him, saying, abide with us. That word abide means that they wanted him to come. They wanted him to move in. Amen. Amen. Here's the problem we have. We get in a bad situation in our life. We come in here. Some of you are already going, preacher, you know it's 12:16. I know what time it is. But we give God, the Holy Spirit, just a small window and say, fix me if you can. Boop, time's up. I'm out of here. That ain't what they did. You got to want God, and you got to be willing to stay until He fixes it. Look what next the Bible said. The Bible says in there, in that word, it says, and it came to pass, and the day was far spent, and he went in and tarried with them. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them. What is that meat? Food. Hey, look up here. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Amen.
Then this part right here, he said, hey. It says, and he took bread, and he blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. Can you help me on piano, Dalton? Is that okay? Now I want you to help me now. I'm gonna get real simple. I'm gonna get real simple. If Jesus is praying, who is he praying to? If he blessed it, who is he thanking for it? God the Father. Now stay with me for just a moment. If I was an artist and I had a big board up here, here's what I'd try to do. I want you to understand what this couple experienced. They got to experience God the Son talking to his heavenly Father. Sitting at the dinner table. That's only happened just a few times in the Scripture. You remember when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he took Peter, James, and John with him, and the Bible says that he went a little further? They fell asleep as God the Son is talking to God the Father. Now, I don't know about you, but I sure do love hearing somebody pray that knows how to pray. Can I get amen? But I want to tell you, they ain't nobody. Woo! They ain't no... They ain't no, they ain't nobody ever talked to God the Father like God the Son did. Help me out, Dalton. Now you think what you want to do. I think what I want to when we get to heaven. We got all eternity to talk about it. But brother, I can't help but believe that while Jesus was breaking that bread, he said, now Father, it could have went something like this. You say, don't say that in the Bible. You're right, it don't say it in the Bible. But I believe that prayer, sir, could have went something like this. Father, we want to thank you for this food. Now, he's talking. Listen, we're talking pure no sin, talking to pure no sin.
Amen.
So he didn't have to say, now, Lord, I need you to forgive me of my sins today. I need you to forgive me for all the stuff that I've done. Lord, I know I said a bad word. I made a bad thought. I went a wrong place. I looked at... None of that was in this prayer. Why? Because you had the sinless Son of God talking to the sinless Father. At the table with a man and a woman whose heart was heavy and whose hope was gone. They are sitting in the presence of Jesus Christ talking to the Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Now stay with me. I'm almost gone. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. Now, I don't know this, but I believe that prayer, this helps me. George Boyle, this helps me. That prayer could have went like this. Lord, we want to thank you for this bread that you've gave us, this meat that you gave us. We want to thank you for that. And I can see husband and wife, brother. And Father, I'd ask you if you would. Their heart's heavy, Lord. Their hope's gone, Lord. And I would ask you if you would lift them up a little bit for me.
That's right.
Now, I don't know this. I'm just telling you how the Holy Spirit helped me. Lord, while I'm out here trying to prevent them from being where they are still in a bad spot. Father, I'm asking you, read your Bible now. Father, I'm asking you if you would help them. And I'm going to throw this in just because I think this right here will make you shout. In my name. Amen.
Amen.
And I think when that prayer happened, something inside that man, And something inside that wife, preacher, they was like, Lord, have mercy. And when he said, and I ask these things in my name, amen, and they opened their eyes, read your Bible, look what the Bible says. The Bible says, and their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. Is anybody picking up what I'm putting down? We're not talking about the pastor, the deacon, Sunday school teacher. We're not talking about it. We're talking about a man and woman that is at the bottom. Jesus is praying on their behalf. You say, preacher, how do you know he's praying on their behalf? Because Jesus didn't need anything. And the Bible said this. And they said one to another, the husband and wife were left alone. They'd just been in the presence of God the Son, talking to God the Father. In the Bible, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? While he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scripture. See, friend, here's the key. Here's the key. Brother Robbie, I'm done. Here's my heart this morning. I want to try to share with you what the Holy Spirit told me in that hotel room earlier this morning. You might be at the darkest, deepest place you've ever been. But friend, I want you to know this. That if you're blood washed in the blood of Jesus, you may not know he's around, but he is talking to the Father on your behalf right now. He is speaking to the God of heaven on your behalf. I believe Paul went through a little bit of this when he said, and I'm not quoting it, but when he says, there are times when I don't even know what to pray for. But that the Holy Spirit will take my moanings and my groanings and take them to the throne room to the Father. Man, I sure am glad that there are times in my life that even when I don't know what to say and even when I don't know how to express my brokenness, I sure am glad that I got a Heavenly Father that loves me enough and a Holy Spirit inside of me that says, I know you don't know what to ask for. And I know that all you can hear is, oh God, oh God. He says, but I know what that is and I'll be right back. And he goes into the Holy of Holies. And he said all he's doing is moaning and groaning. But what he really needs to tell you is his heart's heavy and his hope's gone. And he feels like you're not around. And I just come on his behalf to let you know that he really needs some help. What's that? I'll take care of it. And then the Holy Spirit comes running back down to where you are. And when he comes back down to where you are, he says this, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. I know it looks bad right now, but you just hold on, dear child. And that is what God said. He's there even when you don't know he's there. You close your Bibles, I'm done. Thank you, preacher. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. Maybe you're here this morning. Your heart's heavy, your hope's gone. Man, you're at the bottom. You've put up a good front. Your husband, your wife, your kids may not even know about it. The pastor may not even know about it. But you're here this morning, and man, you're going through something in your life, and I just come by to tell you this. You're not in it by yourself. Your heart might be heavy and your hope may be gone, but friend, your help is very near. How near is he, preacher? Just you saying, God, can you help me? God, I need to know that I'm not in this alone. I need you to know that I'm hurting. I need you to know that my heart's being torn out. And I believe this, preacher. I believe sometimes we just need to be honest and say, God, I want to let you know I'm not happy with it. But Lord, you give me the peace that I need. I need to feel your presence when nobody looking. I'm going to ask you this question this morning. Is there anybody in the church house today? Nobody looking. There's no reason for anybody to be looking. Was there anybody in the church house today that would say, "Preacher, without going into a whole lot of details, I know what that man and woman feel like. I've got things going on in my life, preacher, and I don't even know how to verbalize it today. But I sure would love for the Holy Spirit just to give me some assurance that everything's going to be all right. Pray for me, preacher. That's me today. Raise your hand up real high. Nobody looking. Thank you, thank you, thank you. My. Yeah, that's right. Keep putting them up. Keep putting them up. I see you. I see you. I see you up in the balcony. I see you in the back. Preacher Garrett, thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Preacher Garrett, you don't know me and I don't know you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. But preacher, I'm going through something. I'm facing something in my life I never thought I'd face. And I'm scared, preacher. My heart's broken. I feel like my hope's gone. I'm losing my joy as you talk. Thank you so much, man. I thank you so much for your honesty. Thank you so much. When you were talking at the beginning of the sermon about losing your joy, I know what that's like. Will you please pray for me, preacher? Anybody else? Anybody else? Brother Robbie's coming. Your pastor's coming. This man loves you. This man prays for you. Nothing would bless him more today than to bow with you. Sister Michelle, bow with y'all in an altar and take the word of God and encourage him, let you know, hey, preacher, if I come, is everything going to be all right? I can't make you that promise, but I tell you what I can promise you. If you'll come and give it to the Lord, hey, you'll have his presence when you get up and leave here in a minute. Why don't you come? If you raise your hand, why don't you come right now? Get up out of your seat and come. Get up out of your seat and come. Preacher, I'm scared. Preacher, I don't want anybody to know. Preacher, what will that mean? That won't mean. Let me tell you what that means. That means that you are coming to seek help. That's right. Come on out of your seat. People are moved. Preacher, I know it's late. I'm not worried about the time right now. Come and get some help today. Come and get some help. Man, Brother Dalton, ain't it going to be great in a minute to get able to get in the car and say, man, didn't our heart burn within us? It's been so long since I've heard from the Lord. And he came in by my way and he spoke to me. Why don't you come? Why don't you come right now? Get up out of your seat and come. In the stillness of this service, that's right. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. Preacher, my heart's heavy. I've never been in this spot before. Or maybe you have. Maybe you've been here multiple times. You know what the outcome's going to be. Maybe you feel like your hope's gone. Now, friend, I want to tell you, just to be encouraged in the Word, we're praying to one that sticketh closer than a brother. And maybe you're here today and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You'd say, preacher, my hope is all gone, because if I were to step out into eternity today, preacher, I'd spend eternity in a place called hell. What do I need to do, preacher? Well, the Bible says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I know enough about this preacher and have already spent enough time with the people in this church that if you're here today and you're lost, they don't want you to leave in the same way you came in. They'd love to take the Word of God and show you how to be saved. In the stillness of this service, I'm turning it back over to the preacher. In the stillness of this service, why don't you get help today? Why don't you get help? Why don't you come? Preacher, it's bad. I understand that. But I'm glad that I serve. I'm glad that I'm loved by a miracle-working God that can fix in a moment what's been wrong with you for a lifetime.
With head still bowed with me. I know what it is. What it's like to have a heavy heart. Know what it's like to battle depression. Been there. I know what it's like to do it without Him. I know what it's like to do it with Him. With heads bowed this morning, I want to give a simple invitation. I know I heard Brother Gary giving one. I was praying with somebody else, but if there's one person in here that does not know Christ as their personal Savior, before we leave out of here, I want to get this thing settled. If there's anybody like that, I want you to raise your hand. Just simply put it up. You can put it right back down. I'm not asking you to do anything else. Is there anybody like that in here? All right. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to You, Lord, there's been folks that's been down on this altar, heavy hearts. Lord, I ain't no doubt in my mind. There's been several instances of folks that have come to the altar that all hope is gone when they came in here. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that You're near. Lord, I'm thankful that every Sunday morning, God, we meet around this place, and Lord, You're present. Lord, more so, may we learn that every Monday morning, God, when we wake up, You're present. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, for Your presence in our lives. Thankful, Lord, for Your fellowship, communion, relationship in our lives. And I'm thankful for the ministry of interceding in our lives. God, I pray, Lord, for every individual that's come forward. Lord, I don't know what they're going. I have no idea what most of them are going through. Some things they don't want to talk about, not only with their preacher, but maybe not even with their spouse. God, I pray, Lord, that You would do what only you can do. Lord, I pray that You'd speak life into them, Lord, for we know that You are the resurrection and the life. God, I pray this morning, and Lord, as we leave out of this place, we'll not leave so kicking rocks and with a heavy heart, but God, we'll leave knowing, Lord, that You are very near, a present help in our time of trouble. God, I'm thankful for Scripture where You draw near to a broken heart. God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that we'll leave out of here knowing that You care for us. And Lord, that we'll leave our burdens with You. Lord, I love You this morning, and I thank You. Lord, for the message. I thank You for the messenger. I thank You for a time in church, Lord, where we can worship You. Lord, get our minds focused back on You. Lord, we love You this morning. We thank You, thankful for what You did. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.